Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 7th of July, 2019, a rare Sunday podcast, but when you consider what transpired in the NBA Saturday morning, late Friday night, well, Saturday morning, this was an absolute bust podcast. Now that we know where the board man will be playing basketball in 2019 and 20 and beyond. As always, again, this is the Real Gerald Quinn, Real Deal Podcast. As always, we are broadcasting on the platform that is YouTube. So you can check out my YouTube podcast, my podcast, Real Deal Podcast, on my YouTube channel anytime, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes after this podcast has ended. Of course, we will also be doing on Block Talk Radio as well. I'll put that up, you know, it's early, relatively early as far as the day goes. So I'll put that up, you know, maybe 8, 9-ish. It'll be up before the 90s, before you lay your head down. Before Big Little Lies. How about that? It'll be up before Big Little Lies. Well, the free agency season has not officially ended, but unofficially is over. Kawhi Leonard is going to the Los Angeles Lakers. He made the decision, of course, right in the middle of the night. And, you know, as a Laker fan, I had been, of course, closely following, you know, what Leonard was going to do throughout the course of the week. I had gotten to a point to where I was frankly tired of the coverage on this. I was tired of the coverage on this. I was just like, you know, make a decision already. And again, I was not upset at Kawhi Leonard. I don't think Kawhi Leonard was dragging this process along. Turns out that Kawhi Leonard, you know, the holdup, if you want to call it that, was the fact that Kawhi Leonard was trying to convince Paul George to come with him. To join him with the Clippers, and he was successful at doing that. As the Los Angeles Clippers, the Oklahoma City Thunder, got a record haul of draft picks and assets for one Paul George. We'll get to that aspect sooner. We'll get to that part of the part of the deal soon enough. But this is about Kawhi Leonard, and I felt like the NBA changed on Saturday morning in terms of who now controls it as a player. Who is controlling the NBA landscape right now? For years, it's been LeBron James, Clutch Sports. You know, he's gotten a number of guys paid, Caldwell Pope being the latest. J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson are still eating off those contracts that they signed back in, I think, 2016 or so. We thought it was going to be Kevin Durant as far as coming into this free agency season. Kevin Durant was, before the injury, the most important free agent and the player who would shift the balance of power in the NBA. We thought that. Kevin Durant gets hurt. Now, Kawhi Leonard comes out there and has one of the best postseasons in recent memory, you know, right up there with, put up there with any individual postseason in the last 10 to 15 years in the post-Jordan era. And it is evident right now that Kawhi Leonard is at the head of the table. And Kawhi Leonard right now is his league, to say the least. What he orchestrated from the time the champagne dried, when Toronto, you know, took out Golden State in 6 games, to July 6th, there's nothing short of just remarkable. And again, I will keep emphasizing this point: Kawhi Leonard and Uncle Dennis keep winning and winning and winning and winning. It cannot be overemphasized enough, because of the just outright criticism in various are newspaper articles around the league that they were taking this time last year in terms of what transpired with the San Antonio Spurs. It is evident. Well, how do you think the Spurs feel right now? You've watched this guy win a championship. Then you watch him engineer a trade in which I would say probably 75 to 80% of the general managers could not engineer what Kawhi could not do what Kawhi Leonard just did. They really couldn't. So it is his league right now. He moves in silence. No one, and I mean no one, had wind of what was going on with Paul George. And we had a bunch of so-called insiders. Well, I shouldn't say a bunch. One in particular, Chris Carter, who, you know, you would have thought that Chris Carter, you know, had a bug in the room during Kawhi Leonard's meetings. Okay, if you're gonna go out there and promote yourself, tweet Kawhi watching all this nonsense, have a clue about what's going on in terms of this possible trade going down. You didn't have a wind of that whatsoever, not at all. That's the problem with, you know, just lay back. Be like Adrian Wojnarowski, who just lay back and then broke the story on Saturday morning. Because anybody, even the most connected insiders didn't know what Kawhi Leonard was going to do. And there were some guys who are very much connected. Chris Broussard is connected. Jalen Rose is connected as an ex-player and then with his Toronto connections. He didn't know. So you give Kawhi Leonard all the credit in the world for this. He made, you know, you there's nothing part of this decision that you can criticize. He is playing for the team that he's supposed to be playing for. It is the right decision. Now, in terms of, you know, the particulars, in terms of the trade, again, this is a record haul of picks. Oklahoma City, you know, ships Paul George off to the Clippers for 5 first-round picks, 4 unprotected, 2 pick swaps. 2 of those picks were via Miami 2021 and a 2023. They also have pick swaps in 2023 and a 2025 pick swaps. Along, it doesn't stop there, of course. They also get Danilo Gallinari, who almost averaged 20 points a game last year. Very good player, off the injured, but when he's healthy, he can play. And they get a guy who a lot of people feel like is going to be a future all-star in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had a great rookie season. The Clippers really didn't want to give him up. But it's Kawhi Leonard, you know. For Kawhi Leonard to get Kawhi Leonard, and that's what this was. In essence, the Clippers were trading. It wasn't just Paul George for, you know, a bunch of assets. It was in essence Paul George to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But the official move was to Oklahoma City for all these assets and draft picks for Paul George. So, what happened with Paul George in Oklahoma City? Because this time last year, you know, it was cigars. It was, Russell Westbrook doing a celebration for Paul George. Paul George came out with the whole, you know, documentary on ESPN, depicting, leading up to his free agency. You had him seemingly like he was happy to be a part of the Oklahoma City community and Oklahoma City. And the Oklahoma City Thunder. There was nothing that came out this season. Paul George had the best season of his career before he hurt his shoulder. And it turns out that shoulder injury he had surgery on both shoulders. It still the particulars on what the exact injury was is still kind of like up in the air on what it was. We know it's pretty serious because he can possibly be missing some time. He could miss some time at the beginning of the regular season. So it was I'm not gonna say career threatening, but it's a pretty significant injury. And it clearly affected him during the course of the latter part of the season, of the end of last season, also into the postseason. What happened with Oklahoma City and Paul George? That's the question that many will ask in this, as we, sit here on July 7th. Again, everything seemed like it was good with Oklahoma City. Paul George never, I didn't hear Paul George publicly, or even there was not even any rumblings privately that there was a problem with he and Russell Westbrook, or with what was going on within the Oklahoma City franchise with, in terms of their direction moving forward. So I think that Paul George just was like, look, man, it's LA. I wanted to go to LA, but I didn't trust a couple of, he held a couple of things against the Lakers. Number one, he never got over the fact that the Lakers did not try to trade for him in that offseason of 2017. He never got over that. He was really he did not get over that. I don't blame the Lakers for not trading for him, because again, there would have been a situation where you basically had to gut the team to get Paul George, and they, you didn't want a situation where you want Denver and Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks all over again. Like the Knicks gutted their team to get Carmelo Anthony when they could have waited for him to become a free agent, and they could have kept those pieces like Wilson Chandler and Gallinari and a couple of those other pieces. I think Raymond Felton was involved in that deal as well. So that was the situation. The Lakers did not want to do that. I'm not going to criticize the Lakers for not trading for Paul George. I didn't criticize them then for not making a move. I'm not going to criticize them now for not making a move. But it was clear that Paul George held that against the Los Angeles Lakers. There's no question about it. Because he didn't, during last offseason, not last offseason, but this time last year when we were talking about free agency, Paul George didn't even give the Lakers a meeting. Didn't give them, they didn't even get a, they didn't even get a meeting from Paul George. Okay. So he held that against them. And also the Laker front office dysfunction, which is clearly evident and clearly ongoing even today as we speak. He was like, okay, I'll sign up, I'll get my money, I'll sign the 4 year, I think $136, $139 million contract. I like Brooklyn. I have a good relationship, good rapport with Russell Westbrook. And we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do this year. They get eliminated this year in the first round. He has an MVP caliber season. Not for, of course, the Greek Freak and James Harden finishes third in the MVP, first team All NBA. And as we stand right now, Paul George is a legit top 10 player in this league. So to me, I think this was just like one of those situations where you get approached by Kawhi Leonard, the probably arguably the best player in the world. He says, man, let's come to LA. The Clippers are already a ready-made franchise in terms of the pieces they've had. The organization is great from top to bottom as far as their front office, Winger, Lawrence Frank, Ballmer, and of course the great and legendary Jerry West. Jerry West, who has his imprint, seemingly has had his imprint on every major move, going back to Shaq, Kobe, and what have you. I mean, Jerry West is just a genius at this, without no question about it. So to me, it was a deal that it was an opportunity that was too good to pass up. I don't buy the fact that all of a sudden that he soured on the Oklahoma City and couldn't stand playing with Westbrook or didn't like Westbrook. He already was refuting all these reports on, his Twitter account. He said something to the extent that I'm not going to stand for Westbrook slander. But the bottom line is, listen, that team had a ceiling as far as how far they were going to go. They got eliminated in the first round last year. There was really no way that they could improve the team outside of, unless, guys like Jeremy Grant and some of their other younger pieces just got considerably better. The Adams con nobody wants Steven Adams's contract. The only tradable asset that Oklahoma City had that can get great pieces back was of course Paul George. Again, I think Paul George did Oklahoma City a favor. I don't think Oklahoma City entered this offseason saying we are going to trade Paul George. I don't think that was the case at all. I think this was a perfect storm. I want to go back to LA if you're Paul George, and if you're Oklahoma City, I can get back how many first round picks? I can get a team who's desperate, and the Lakers, excuse me, the Clippers were desperate to move to try to get Kawhi Leonard because in their eyes they thought that if they didn't move all these pieces in order to get Kawhi Leonard, to get Paul George for Kawhi Leonard, that Kawhi Leonard was going to the Lakers. And that absolutely scared the hell out of the Clippers. The idea of having LeBron, Kawhi, and Anthony Davis on the same team, and you basically sharing an arena and a city with that team. They could not fathom that moving forward. Like, again, they were going to move heaven and earth to get Paul George. So I think for Oklahoma City basically stumbled into one of the great trade, asset collections of all time. I mean, you're talking about getting five first round picks, four unprotected, two pick swipes, and two quality NBA players, two players that can start for you. I mean, they like Gilgeous Alexander could start for Oklahoma City right now. He can start for Oklahoma City as a two guard. I don't know what they're going to do. And again, we'll get to the Westbrook. We will get to the Russell Westbrook aspect of this soon enough. But you got two not only rotational players, but two players that could probably start for your team right now. So again, no player in NBA, no team in NBA history has ever got this amount of assets for one guy, ever. Ever. And then no player that's ever been traded for. And you've had some legendary players over the course of history. Wilt Chamberlain, Luau, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq. You've had some Charles Barkley. You've had some living in their primes. You've had some guys that have been traded, and it doesn't compare to what Oklahoma City got from the Los Angeles Clippers. So I think that Oklahoma City was like, Sam Presti was like, hey, how much, like, let's do it. It speeds up our rebuilding process. We can now, now we can, we got, we can now, we now have assets to acquire the next disgruntled star player or the next, or somebody who get to somebody like a Bradley Beal. Or possibly even Kevin Love, who knows? They have assets to where they can acquire any they can basically acquire any player they want that would be up for that could be in trade talks. They have the assets to acquire that. They right now look at the teams that have the most assets in terms of young players and draft picks. I would say New Orleans one, Oklahoma City two. Those are the two franchises that are loaded with the most draft capital and young prospects. If you're the Clippers, you are no longer, and you look at the Clipper lineup, look at who the Clippers have now, you add two of the top 10 players in the league, you add a finals MVP in the prime of his career, along on top of Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, Patrick Beverley. They re-signed Zubac. They still have Montrezl Harrell, who was a 16-6 guy last year. They signed Rodney McGruber. Mo they you know they got Mo Harkless, Jerome Robinson. So the Clippers are loaded, and they absolutely deserve to be the favorites to win the championship next year. Now again, not prohibited favorites because the league, and we'll talk about that as well, the league is wide open next year. The league is absolutely wide open. There are anywhere from six to eight teams that can make a case that they can win a championship. And I'm not even mentioning the teams that would be one move away. I'll talk about that. But the league is wide open as it has been in a decade. Remember what we're coming off. We're coming off the Golden State era. Before that, Miami's 4 years. Okay. So right now, the league is absolutely wide open. If you're a basketball fan, it's without question an exciting time to be a fan of the NBA. The NBA has taken over as far as 365, 12-month league. It's clearly wiped out the NFL as far as from an attention standpoint in the offseason. The NFL once carried that title as being a league where you had to pay attention to through in the offseason. The NBA has taken that over. And it's really not even close, to be honest with you, as far as the attention that's garnered in free agency and in the offseason versus the other sports. It's not even close. Hot stove baseball, the NFL free agency period, even with the draft, none of it right now compares to where the NBA is right now. It really doesn't. Now, again, the NBA is going to have to clean up some things with, resting players, and you're going to see that next season in terms of the load management. There are going to be a lot of guys following Kawhi Leonard's formula who are not on Kawhi Leonard's level and who probably shouldn't even be thinking about taking games off. But that's just one of the issues that Adam Silver is going to have to deal with. But you look at the Clippers, look at what they have. Again, unlike the Boston Celtics, they did not hesitate to use it. They were not going to waste and just sit on these assets and sit on these draft picks and just wait for this for a perfect deal. You had a guy in Kawhi Leonard who wanted to be a Los Angeles Clipper, and he tells you, do this, and I'm coming here. And to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. You absolutely have to do what he asked you to do. The Clippers put themselves in a position over the last couple of years in terms of some of the moves they made to where they could acquire a Paul George and still keep an above average team with those two all-stars, those two superstar players. The flip side, of course, is the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, unlike the situation we saw with Brooklyn and New York, where Brooklyn gets two prominent free agents, a former Finals MVP, an All-Star in Kyrie Irving, they are going to be the team that everybody's going to be talking about in New York. And the Knicks are basically, left for dead. The Lakers are not in that position. Lakers still have two of the top six or seven players in the league. The Lakers go out there and pick up, some decent pieces in the aftermath of not getting Kawhi Leonard. Danny Green, I thought they overpaid for him, but he's a 3-and-D guy. He's an NBA, two-time NBA champion. Boogie Cousins on a one-year deal, $3.5 million, I think will help the team. Troy Daniels is a shooter. Quinn Cook, decent. Rondo, I guess you just need a point guard. So I think the Lakers are a fringe title contender. I don't like the Lakers as much as everybody else is liking them. There are talks about, hey, the Lakers-Clippers, Western Conference Finals, Lakers, second behind the Clippers as far as title favorite. There are teams that I would put, if I were rating the teams that who could win a championship, I would put the Clippers ahead of the Lakers. I would put the Sixers ahead of the Lakers. I would put Milwaukee ahead of the Lakers. I would put Utah ahead of the Lakers. Maybe even Denver ahead of the Lakers. I like the Lakers right now. I don't love the Lakers. A lot of things have to go well for the Lakers to get to the finals and to possibly win a championship. First of all, defensively, they're going to be mediocre to say the least. They don't have anybody that can guard that can check a point guard. Period. They don't have anyone that can check a point guard. They got rid of those guys when they traded for Anthony Davis in terms of Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball, and to a lesser extent, even Brandon Ingram could match up. could match up against certain bigger point guards. But you trade those pieces to get Anthony Davis, had no problem with that. But right now, the Lakers are in a position to where, you know, you're in a conference with Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Mike Conley Jr., Chris Paul is still with Houston. They're going to have to find, they're going to address that, because right now defensively, they're going to, what's going to happen is they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. They're going to be a lot of 125, 115, 125, 120, 130, 125 type games. That you can get through the regular season on talent and LeBron and Anthony Davis. That will not work in the playoffs. That will absolutely get exposed in the playoffs in a 7-game series. And you have to look, in terms of the Lakers versus the Clippers right now, there's no question about which team has the, you know, about which team knows what they're doing as far as their front office goes. Again, Kawhi Leonard's decision to go to the Clippers was easy. I don't believe, all this talk about when he was making his decision, is he torn between the Lakers and Toronto and the Clippers? And people were reporting that the Clippers were out, which I never believed myself that the Clippers were out, because it was still L.A. It was still L.A. And again, I didn't see Paul George coming, but I never for a second believed that the Los Angeles Clippers were out of the mix in terms of acquiring a Kawhi Leonard. I thought he was going to the Lakers. I didn't see the Paul George thing coming. I never thought that he was going to go back to Toronto. Even before it came out that he was not going to sign a 1+1 deal. That he was not going to sign a 1+1 deal. That he was looking for a long term deal and was looking to, you know, to get paid, which he did and which he deserves to. So you look at the Lakers versus the Clippers, front offices, it's varsity versus the JV. I mean, the Clippers' infrastructure, what they've built. Think about this, and we talked about this in the previous podcast with Brooklyn versus the Knicks. Brooklyn bottomed out for 3 years, right? They bottomed out for 3 years where they were losing like 50 to 60 games a year. They, you know, it took them that long to recover from what transpired with the Boston, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trade and all those draft picks, and they were the laughingstock of the league. So they bottomed out for 3 years, and next thing you know, they were in the playoffs this year. The Clippers, there was no bottoming out for the Clippers. There was no, if you want to call it a rebuild, this has been the quickest, most efficient rebuild in the history of the NBA. Okay, 2017, right? From 2017 to where we're at right now. They lose a playoff series, Game 7, 2017, at home to the Utah Jazz, okay? The following season, in that offseason, Chris Paul leaves and goes to Houston. In that deal, of course, the Clippers get back Beverly, Montrezl Harrell in a first-round pick, okay? They sign Blake Griffin to a max extension. Then they trade him for Tobias Harris, Boban, and again, in a draft pick. They flip that Tobias Harris and Boban into Landry Shamet and some draft picks. I mean, think about that. The following year, right, 2017-2018, they go 42-40, miss the playoffs for the first time in like 5 years. They had five straight years, like 51 seasons. The following season, this year, they're in the playoffs. And now they have they're the odds-on favorites to win the NBA championship. That is a rebuild that is unheard of in the history of the NBA. It just doesn't happen. When you trade away your stars, you trade away their contracts, you trade away, you know, those contracts for like young players and draft picks, you are bottom. You're not going to more than likely make the playoffs, miss the playoffs for 2 to 3 years, minimum, at least. If Oklahoma City is able to move Russell Westbrook, right? They're able to move Russell Westbrook. They will not be in the playoffs this year. They won't be in the playoffs next year, and possibly even the following year, possibly, depending on what they do in 2021, or they can get a Bradley Beal. They can get some other players that could possibly be on the trade block. They can flip Gallinari's contract and turn that into some assets or some draft picks. But more than likely, they're gonna miss a couple years where they're not contending for not even a championship, but even contending for a playoff spot. So what the Clippers did in basically a year, in basically 2 years, to me, has never been done in the history of the league. I've never seen a rebuild like this, where you are rebuilding on the fly. You're competitive enough to where your worst season in those two years was 42-40. You go 48-34 this year and take two games away from a healthy Golden State Warrior team. Think about how long it took the Lakers. The Lakers have missed the playoffs 6 straight years. The Lakers missed the playoffs with LeBron James this year. With LeBron James, the Lakers missed the playoffs this year. So it is an outright embarrassment to the Los Angeles Lakers franchise that the Clippers are now heads and shoulders above them in terms of the quality of the organization, how they run their organization. Now, again, the Laker brand will always be the Laker brand. The 16 championships, we know all the banners. We know Staples belongs to the Lakers as far as from that standpoint. People view the Clippers in terms of as a, you know, just renting. The Lakers own that building. The Clippers are just renting the building. That is the perception of it. But again, on Saturday morning, the landscape in terms of the perception, in terms of those two franchises, completely changed, shifted to me. Am I saying that LA is a Clipper town? No, I'm not saying that. It's not a Clipper town, but it belongs to the Clippers. If that makes sense. It's not a Clipper town, but it belongs to the Clippers. If you're Kawhi Leonard, why would you I don't think Magic Johnson's tweets, you know, played a major role in terms of Kawhi's decision. I thought just Kawhi just wanted to be a Clipper, and that if he could get another star, that he was going to the Clippers, and so happens he was able to get Paul George. But what is the obsession with these tweets? Or what is the obsession with, why can't you just meet with Kawhi and go about your business? It leaked out. It clearly, we know who it came from. The fact that in terms of some of the questions that were asked, about Kawhi was asking Magic Johnson, it didn't come from Kawhi's people. It clearly came from Magic Johnson, without question, and the Lakers. And again, it was an easy decision for Kawhi Leonard to go to the Clippers. That's why the Lakers should be embarrassed. It was an easy decision, despite the fact that they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Think about that. Despite the fact that they have two of the best players in the league, Kawhi, there was no question that Kawhi wanted to be a Clipper. That Kawhi wanted to be on the Clippers. It was despite that. And look no further than the front office. Kawhi Leonard has now played for two teams, right? When he was with San Antonio was one of the best organizations in all of sports. Peter Holt, R.C. Buford, Greg Popovich, they were the model franchise in not only in the NBA, again, in all of the four major sports. Then he gets, you know, what happens in San Antonio happens. He goes to Toronto. Now you have a situation with Toronto where you have Masai Ujiri as one of the best presidents and basketball people in the NBA right now. And again, if you're a Toronto fan, I wouldn't be concerned. You have outside of Kawhi Leonard, the most important piece that Toronto has is Masai Ujiri. He knows what he's doing. He will flip those contracts of Ibaka and Gasol and turn those into draft picks and good pieces. And before you know it, Toronto will be fine. I'm not concerned about Toronto at all. That guy knows what he's doing. But my point is, you think after playing for those two organizations that are two model organizations in terms of how to run the franchise, you think that he was coming to the Lakers? What is he thinking when he leaves San Antonio, plays for Toronto, and then he looks at the Lakers front office? These clowns. There's no way, in hindsight, there's no way that Kawhi Leonard was coming to the Lakers. There's no way. The more and more I wrap my head around it. As time passes, it was no way. And that narrative or that perception, well, the Clippers are the Clippers and Lakers are the Lakers, that is dead in 2019, on July 7th, 2019. That is absolutely left for dead. It is a new day in the NBA. It is a new day in LA. In regards to who is the big brother. And again, you cannot give the Clippers enough credit for what they were able to pull off. Look how quickly Steve Ballmer learned. He takes over the Clippers, goes through some growing pains as the owner, then says, you know what, Doc Rivers, you were once a great head coach. You're no longer running our basketball operations. We appreciate it. We know what you did, you know, in the midst of the Donald Sterling fiasco disaster. That was an embarrassment to our franchise as well as the NBA. We understand that you were out there basically, you know, signing contracts. You were the face of the franchise. You did a wonderful job from that standpoint. Tough situation, difficult situation, but when you were with Boston, you were a above average, borderline great head coach. Just coach your team. Voila, Doc Rivers, you know, does one of his best coaching jobs that he's done in, you know, going back to when he was with Orlando. Get Lawrence Frank in there, get Michael Winger, Jerry West. And now you have one of the best front offices in the NBA right now. Hey, without question. Maybe the best front office in the NBA right now, to be honest with you. So, again, you can't give the Clippers enough credit. If anything, what we have learned from free agency is you have to have, the culture of your franchise is more important now than it's ever been. Like, right now, don't be fooled by the Lakers having Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Their culture is still suspect, to say the least. It is not a good culture that they have. They're just fortunate that they stumbled in, that LeBron James wanted to come to L.A., And that Anthony Davis had a relationship with Clutch Sports, who has a relationship with LeBron James. They're fortunate that those two things occurred. And if you're Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi's looking at this situation of, first of all, I think Kawhi Leonard, I thought this at the beginning of this process, I thought that the Clipper move was the perfect move because If you're Kawhi Leonard at this point, you are thinking about you're going to the Hall of Fame. Now, how do you catapult yourself? And he can deny this all he wants to in terms of caring about being the best player in the league and say all that sounds good. I'm not gonna say fake modesty, but Kawhi Leonard cares about his legacy. There's no question about it. So if I'm Kawhi Leonard, how can I be mentioned amongst the greats of greats? I want to be an icon. I want to be up there with, the Michael Jordans, Kobe Bryant's, Magic Johnson. I want to be on. I want my name mentioned in those amongst those players in terms of the all-time greats. The perfect move was to go into the Clippers and taking not one, but two franchises that had never won anything to their first championship. He wins a championship with the Clippers. He doesn't have to win multiple. He wins one championship with the Clippers. He would have won three championships with three different franchises, more than likely three championships with three for NBA Finals MVPs. And that takes him to iconic, legendary status without question. Right now, and again, Kawhi's legacy as far as, and I was thinking about this yesterday, as far as where would I rate him in terms of the all-time greats, in terms of what is he, top 30, top 40, top 50? He's somewhere in that top 30 to top 40. He's somewhere in that range. He wins a championship this year. Now we're talking, you gotta be talking top 25, top 20 possibly, considering how dominant he's been in the postseason. And considering that, again, has the highest winning percentage of any player in NBA history. So again, this was Prop Joe, Stringer Bell, Marlo Stansfield, all into one, basically. This was a chess move of epic proportions in terms of what Kawhi Leonard was able to pull off this postseason. Not was able to pull off in terms of getting to the Clippers. Now, you talk about the landscape of the NBA. Right now, if I'm looking at how many teams are legitimate contenders, I have the Clippers, Utah, Denver, Lakers, Houston, Portland, and Golden State are possibles. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. So automatically, I have, let me see, one, two, three, four, five, seven teams that could win a championship next year. Seven teams and a pot and two possibles. Do not discount, and again, they've shown some dysfunction. They've had a as the world turns type postseason, excuse me, regular offseason. Don't discount the Houston Rockets. I don't know what the Houston Rockets, and we'll get to the Westbrook. Forgot about that. We'll get to where Russell Westbrook could end up. I don't know why. I don't know what the Houston Rockets are even thinking in regards to why they want to obsess with adding a star to another star to their team, whether it be Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook. The Houston comes back with their team that they lost to against Golden State. They'll be fine. They run it back with the same players. A tweak here, tweak there, they will be fine. Remember, they have played a healthy Golden State tougher than any team by far in Kevin Durant era, and it's not even close. They took how many games? Three, 5 games. Okay, 5 games in the last 2 years off Golden State. A healthy Golden State. No team that's out again. The Clippers, prior to the Clippers outside of Houston, were the only team that took more than one game in a playoff series against Golden State. Kevin Durant in the Kevin Durant era of Golden State. So I think Houston is fine. Now, Houston could self-destruct and do something stupid. It is very much possible. Like if they got Russell Westbrook, I would take him off the list. Like that would be a disaster. You put Russell Westbrook and James Harden on the same team. I mean, I'm assuming that Chris Paul wouldn't be on the ride. Like, they would have to move Chris Paul. And then, why in the world, if you're Sam Presti, would you take back that Chris Paul contract? So I don't see Russell Westbrook ending up with the Houston Rockets. I just don't see it happening. Well, again, we'll talk about Westbrook about some of the possibilities, some of the trade partners that Oklahoma City can have for him. I do think Oklahoma City will move him before the season starts. I think that's basically, you know, a done deal as far as I'm concerned. In terms of he's not going to be like they are. I think Oklahoma City at this point is in full rebuilding mode. But right now, again, Philadelphia, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee in the East, Denver, Utah, both LA teams, Houston in the West, and again, Portland is one move away. And Portland has some assets that they can. They have some assets that they can move to try to maybe, you know, go after a Bradley Beal or somebody they deem that could put them closer to title contention. They're not that far away. They're right there. I don't think they. I think they took a minor step back with some of the trades and moves that they made. Not a major, but a minor step back. But they're not that far away. And do not discount Golden State. Golden State, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein is a very good player. They re-signed Kevon Looney for a contract, which I don't understand. I don't understand how they were able to get him for 3 years and $15 million. I don't understand. Again, it just goes to show you. It goes to show you how much the perception and just the game has changed. The game does not respect big men anymore. Like this, like you know, DeMarcus Cousins. Only signs for $3.5 million. Like the big man is basically, unless you are a, you know, have a generational talent like Carl Anthony Towns or Joel Embiid or Jokic in Denver, unless you're a superstar caliber talent big man, the NBA just does not care about big men in big men anymore. It is not the market out there for big men is basically dead. In regards to in terms of their value and what their perceived value, so I like what Golden State did as far as Looney, Willie Cauley-Stein, the D'Angelo Russell thing. I mean, they could do so many things with D'Angelo Russell. They could flip him for some good players and some prospects and some draft picks. They're gonna get Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson will play more than likely in late February, March. I don't see him missing the entire season. I do not discount Golden State from possibly being a contender when we're having this conversation, say next March, next April. Right now, no. Do I think Golden State can win a championship right now? No, but that definitely could change. That franchise, Bob Myers, those guys know what they're doing. And again, I love the D'Angelo Russell pickup. Looney, Willie Cauley-Stein, I think Golden State will be fine. But right now, again, you have about seven teams that could contend for the championship. The league, to me, the Western Conference is as deep as it has been in over a decade. I mean, you got to go back to 2007, 2008, where in the Western Conference that year you had 8 50-win teams. Even Golden State was 48-34 that year, and they missed the playoffs. And Portland was 41-41, finishing 10th. So that just shows you how deep that the conference was that year. I don't see Oklahoma City making the playoffs this year. I think they were going to struggle to make the playoffs even if they kept that team together, to be honest with you. So I think Westbrook will be moved. All it takes is one dummy. To me, Westbrook, the two worst contracts in the NBA right now are John Wall's one, Westbrook number two. And that's the one thing you also have to take into consideration when you're building a franchise. If you don't believe a guy can lead you to a championship, or you can build a contender around a guy, around your number one player, do not give him the super, super max. The difference between a max, regular max, and super max. John Wall got the super max. Steph Curry got the super max. Russell Westbrook got the super max. Russell Westbrook is going to be, on average, going to be making about $40 million for the next 4 years. He still has a bet. He still has, in essence, $170 million left on his contract. It is one of the worst contracts in the league. And there's no reason why you would trade for Russell Westbrook. Especially with the amount of owners who want to stand clear of paying the luxury tax. So, again, you're going to hear Miami's of the world. You're going to hear Orlando's. You're going to hear the Knicks, Houston, teams like that. You're going to hear Minnesota. If I'm any of those teams, I wouldn't do it. If you made me guess on a place where Westbrook would end up, I would say Miami. Miami's a team along with San Antonio. And by the way, San Antonio has made some nice, quiet moves. Remember, Marcus Morris, I think that's a great move. They get DeMar Carroll for a nice cap-friendly contract. And they're going to get DeJounte Murray, who they were high on. And unfortunately, he had an injury, a knee injury that kept him hurt his knee, and that kept him out for the year. So they're going to add, you know, two players and get this and re-sign DeMar Carroll. I like San Antonio's. Can't count out the Spurs. You cannot count out the Spurs as far as being somewhat relevant moving into 2020 season. But the Spurs and Miami Heat are two teams that will never bottom out. They will never tank. They will never rebuild. Those two teams just don't. They have championship pedigree. Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, they just do not believe in rebuilding. The day you see those two teams rebuilding, you'll know that Pat Riley is completely retired from basketball, and you'll know that Greg Popovich is retiring and you know, going full time with his wine business. Those two teams will never bottom out. So if I had to guess where Westbrook is going to end up, I would say the Miami Heat. And you know, they have some contracts that can move. They don't have a lot of draft capital, but they do have some contracts that can move. And again, he fits perfectly with the Heat in terms of the mentality, Jimmy Butler, playing with Jimmy Butler. So that would be my guess. The Knicks would be absolutely insane to trade for Russell Westbrook. It would be a Nick move, though, but they would be absolutely insane to trade for Russell Westbrook. Because, listen, I've knocked Westbrook a lot. And there was a time about 4 or 5 years ago where I wanted Westbrook on the Los Angeles Lakers. But since he won the triple-double, since he averaged a triple-double, since he won the MVP, I've seen enough out of Russell Westbrook to know what he's all about. You're not winning a championship with Russell Westbrook as your number one player. It's just not going to happen. And he hasn't shown enough flexibility or any flexibility at all in terms of him, you know, trying to adjust his game or change his game or alter his game from being a less of a volume shooter, especially from 3-point range. He's an awful 3-point shooter, playing smart basketball down the stretch. In terms of situational basketball, he is terrible. He's a terrible situational basketball player. And you cannot have your point guard, the guy who's going to control the basketball for the majority of the game, a bad decision maker in terms of situational basketball. It's just, you cannot have that in today's NBA. You can't. So I think that, you know, Oklahoma City will move off Westbrook. I don't think Oklahoma City even cares about what they get in return from Westbrook. I don't think Presti is greedy in terms of looking. If I'm moving Westbrook, my number one objective is getting off that contract. It's not even what I get back in return. I'm happy with the draft capital that I received from the Clippers. That's enough draft capital for, you know, the next half decade. You know, you could probably get a first round pick for Westbrook, a late first round pick. But your number one objective for trading Westbrook is moving off that, is getting rid of that contract. That is what your number one objective is in terms of making a move. Similar to John Wall and the Washington Wizards. I mean, listen, the Washington Wizards might have to sacrifice Bradley Beal just to move off that John Wall contract. That's how bad that contract is. They might have to sacrifice Bradley Beal, who is a budding star in this league, one of the top five two guards, an all-star, a guy who should have been all-NBA this year. You know, 25, 26 years old, been a proven playoff player. Has played great in the playoffs in the limited times that he's been in the playoffs. It's been great. They might have to sacrifice him just to move off the John Wall contract. That's how bad that contract is. So I think Westbrook will end up, if I had to guess, in Miami. But don't be surprised. You know, Phoenix, Minnesota, the Knicks. There are enough bad franchises in this league to where, all it takes is one dummy to make a move and to pick up, to get lured by the triple doubles and the sideshow that Russell Westbrook would be if he joined your team. A couple other things of note. You have next week Wimbledon. If you're somebody who loves tennis, it's the summertime. Not a lot going on as far as the sports world. You're gonna have the big three with Nadal, with Federer, Djokovic, Nadal still alive. Now you have this story with Corey Gauff, who has been the story of the tournament. 15 years old. Serena Williams is still in the tournament. So Wimbledon right now, the round 16, where all the matches, both men and women, will be in action tomorrow. So it should be set up for an exciting week. Of tennis from that standpoint. The dream would be, I guess, that we would get Nadal, either a combination of Nadal, Djokovic, or Federer, Djokovic, and Williams, Gauff in the final. That would be the dream scenario for tennis. I don't want to hear another word from somebody connected to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, to give you some context on that, of course, as soon as Kevin Durant signs with Brooklyn, as soon as that, the deal is announced that he's going to be go to the Brooklyn Nets, stuff leaks days later about the idea that Kevin Durant didn't feel comfortable with Golden State. He felt like an outsider. He didn't feel appreciated. All this garbage that comes out, and which we know is leaked from Kevin Durant's people to the media. Now all of a sudden, Golden State is this dysfunctional front office who didn't kiss Kevin Durant's ass enough, didn't appease him enough during his tenure. With the Golden State Warriors. I don't want to hear another word out of Kevin Durant's peoples. And just, Brooklyn Net, you're no longer with Golden State. Move on and go about your business. It's enough already with that. If I hear another story about Kevin Durant not being respected, I mean, give me a break. I mean, they did everything to, and then some, to kiss Kevin Durant's ass his 3-year tenure with Golden State. And of course, yesterday afternoon, you had the Power season 6 trailer finally dropping. And I'm telling you right now, they are going to milk this last season to the bone. They are milking it for all it's worth. 15 episodes. They're not starting until August 25th. Now, to be fair to the Power people, I don't know if that is in conjunction with what the tragedy that they had on set last December. Remember the guy, one of the production people died on set in an accident. It was a tragedy and an accident. I don't know if that pushed that. I think that there might be a reason why that it pushed back production. I have not heard an exact reason why they're starting, in essence, 2 months later. Normally, Power starts late June, middle July. But basically, you're going to have Power until Christmas. I mean, they're going to have 15 episodes. It starts August 25th. The season finale will be, I think, December 1st. So you will have 15 straight weeks of Power to take you through the end of the summer, through the football season, and basically into the holiday season. And again, they are going to milk this last season to milk every dime, every promotion, they're going to milk this to the bone in terms of this last season of Power. So again, the trailer was tremendous. The trailer, by the way, was phenomenal. The trailer was great. 2 minutes. I think from looking at the trailer, I think they killed Angela. I think Angela's case. Now she was at the end of the trailer. They did show her at the end of the trailer. But I think from my standpoint, from my vantage point, I think that they're gonna use her in dream sequences. I think she died That's just my opinion. I've not heard anything. This is not any inside information or people talking over the internet. This is my pure opinion based on what I saw from that trailer. Which is fine. You know, it's not, you know, it's fine. But, you know, looking forward to Power, 15 episodes, August 25th. So you have that going on as well. Baseball will be at the All-Star break in a couple of hours. Again, the Yankees, they lost yesterday, but the Yankees are the best team in baseball. Them along with the Dodgers. So those are the two teams right now that stood out the most, Yankees and Dodgers. The Nats are playing better. Again, you know, Scherzer has been spectacular. Strasburg has pitched well. They need to shore up that bullpen in order to make a run. And I think the Nationals will make a run for the NL East. I don't think Atlanta's going to run away from it, going to run away with the division. So, yeah, that going on with the baseball. But the NBA has been front and center throughout the course since the finals concluded. And, again, getting back to where we began at the top of the program, top of the podcast, it is Kawhi's league right now. It's Kawhi. It is the board man's league, and that's all there is to it. So we'll see. Looking forward to the scheduling coming out. I would guess that Christmas Day will be Lakers Clippers. That's just a guess. And we'll, you know, the NBA likes this momentum of us talking about them. So I expect the schedule to come out within the next couple of weeks. I don't think they'll wait until August for the schedule to come out. As always, you can find me on my YouTube channel, Real Deal Podcast. Again, I will put this podcast on my Blog Talk Radio platform, Blog Talk Radio platform, in a couple hours. Thanks for listening to this podcast. This is the Real Deal Podcast. We're keeping it real with no apologies, telling it like it is with no apologies. I'm out. Thanks for listening.